You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at jwright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. Producing the program, doing more marathon work. He, of course, is the producer of Jeffrey Wright and Company. You can follow him on Twitter at KingGeorge94. George Ruggiero, good day, sir.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to all. Coach Hurd is down in Miami. He's going to join us here in just a moment to get us. He's in Atlanta, not Miami, but he's been moving all the way around. But he's going to join us here in just a moment. Jason Munn's going to join us as well during this hour. We'll get into the list. We'll hand out some awards from the weekend. We'll do all that during hour number two, and then we'll tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. But Coach Hurd joining us from Atlanta, of course, the head coach and team director of Team Thad, of course, of the Nike EYBL circuit. Kind enough to join us via the phone on Monday. Coach, you probably wish you were in Miami, but no, you are indeed in Atlanta. Not that Atlanta's bad, it's just it's not Miami.
Man, happy Monday, Jeff. By making that mistake, you know, it's a guy suing the NFL right now because of Shador dropping in. I ain't going to lie, that was stress. I wish I was in Miami. You owe me one, Jeff, by saying that, man.
I'm sorry. All right, so how did your weekend go?
Oh, we went good. So we went undefeated. My big boys only played two games, and they had practice. You know what's funny now, Jeff, the AAU scene, I don't know if it didn't got to your daddy yet, but the AAU scene is so crazy that sometimes it's better to have practice away and it makes it neutral for everyone else. And then my younger teams, 15 and 16, with the Barley star, Dylan Jones and Braylon, they all won the prestigious Bob Givens tournament down there going 5-0.
I think he would tell you for now, like with baseball, like you've mentioned when y'all have tournaments, that's actually your times to practice. I don't even think they practice. I think literally they just show up. Because he's like you, he's got guys from everywhere else too, but like, and granted, in baseball, you know, you're not really running, like, sets. So more of, like, when you practice, it's usually, like, either fundamentals, situations. But, like, no, I mean, I would imagine most of his Easley team, they don't even practice.
Oh, okay. That yeah, because it could be a hassle, too, because, you know, you have to be connected. Like, if I go to Atlanta,
right,
got to call a bunch of high school
Correct.
Coaches I'm cool with.
Like, I think he does, like, I think he, like,
gym.
I think he looks for, like, he has, because he's been doing it forever, he has places where they'll go, like, take BP. But,
okay,
like, I doubt they're, like, getting on a diamond and, like, having a two-hour practice.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, I ain't got as cold as your dad yet, so I try to find some practice with the young kids. Yep, so we kind of did that. But it was good, Jeff, and you know the big thing this weekend, I know you be busy, and you know you got a lovely wife, kids there, but it's, I don't know if you heard us talk about it Wednesday, and we talked a little Monday, but, man, I know last year made, what, $2-4 million? It probably go triple that because every college coach in America will be here. It's the Nike EYB Live period right here at the event center and out at our place at Shoot 360 Memphis. So it's going down in the city this weekend in a positive major way.
Okay, so let everybody know, when does it all start?
It starts Friday. The majority of the games that they will want to see be at the Memphis Event Center. And it started early. I don't know why they're doing it this year, Jeff. The good games might start Friday afternoon, but it started as early as 9 in the morning because the live period, and what we mean by live period where the basketball or college coaches could be out, it started at 8 a.m. on Friday until about 5 p.m. on Sunday. So every top player in America will be here. The Nike EYBL have like 70 of the top 100, if not more. Whoever your favorite college coach is, if it's not Penny, they all done call me, BSF, Calipari, my guy UConn, my guy Duke. Everybody will be here. All the kids, the future NBA and Tiger guys that the University of Memphis recruit, they all will be here this weekend.
All right, so how many teams are going to be here?
And that's what I would say is going to almost raise $10 million because what you got, Jeff, Nike has 40 teams on the 17 EYBL,
right.
But you got to times that by three, if not more, because you're going to talk about 15, 16, 17.
Yeah. So we got 40 in the 17s. But the 17s, that's still the biggest, correct?
Yeah, that's the biggest. That's
okay.
The biggest. So you have, well, the 17s, they cut it down. They got 32. Then the 15 and 16s got 48.
Each
got that many teams. Your 17s got cut down to 32 teams. Then you have the EYCL.
How many gyms? Because the event center can't just have all of it, right? I mean, I know they've got a bunch of floors, but that's, I mean, what? We're talking about 150 teams.
Yeah. So what you're, that's why I was, so Jeff, they're using, at my facility, I got five.
Okay.
So that's 21 courts. The event center pretty good. The event center, one of the biggest, event center got 16 courts.
Yeah, but that's still a ton of game. Like,
well, if you take it when I just said, they're starting as early as 9 a.m. on Friday morning. The last game don't start to 8 p.m., so that's a lot of time every day. Yeah, from 9 to 8. Then on Sunday, it's probably going to be 8 to 4 because people got to get on the road. So most of it will be at the event center. And then, John, this is why the city raising more money this year. There are 2-3 other tournaments that will be here because some tournament directors go wherever Nike at during the live period where they could be around some college coaches too, hoping, or if they got relationships.
Right, so yeah, hey, you know, like, hey, we're not in this one, but there's so many people here, like, let's go have another, let's have another event so they maybe can get eyes on us.
Yeah, then the coaches, y'all in town, if I got a relationship with you, at least come over here an hour or two. I can say Memphis and Virginia Tech came and things of that model. Yeah, so you got other tournaments would be here too. And so if anybody in Memphis ain't got a hotel room or got an anniversary this weekend, it might be tough with the rooms because I'm hearing it's sold out all the way. People even starting to have to go to Jackson, Oakland, all kind of stuff right now.
All right, so on the 17s, like, who are the biggest guys that are going to be here?
So if you go on the ESPN list right now, Brandon McCourt plays for Unity. Ariza's son that played for the Lakers, he's top 10. Tyron Stokes, who we played against last year, I don't know if he's playing this weekend, but he plays for the Oakland Soldiers. I ain't got the ESPN list.
All right, so I'm about to. All right, you said
name him, and I'll tell you here who in the Nike league.
Did you say Tyron Stokes?
Tyron Stokes. We don't know if he's playing this weekend, but he played with Oakland Soldiers.
All right, Brandon McCoy.
He's in the Nike league. He'll be here.
Okay, Christian Collins. These guys are all L.A. guys.
Yeah, so it's funny. The West Coast has 18 out of the top 50 kids in 2026. The West Coast is pretty good. Christian Collins plays on the same
high school team as McCoy, yeah.
Is McCoy now, but he played on the same AAU team as Ariza. So Reeves are like seven. So, yes, they play for Why Not, which is Russell Westbrook's Nike team. So, yeah, Christian Collins will be here.
All right, Jordan Smith from Fairfax, Virginia.
He plays for TakeOver. He will be here.
All right, another L.A. guy, Jason Crow. He's from Inglewood.
Jason Crow. He played for Oakland Soldiers. And the funny thing about it, he's supposed to be playing with Why Not with Christian Collins. I'm glad they split them up. He will be here.
All right, Jackson Richardson from Miami. Is that another of – is that Jason's brother?
That's his brother, and you wouldn't believe this. That's the fact. I just played him last week. In Phoenix. He jumps higher than his daddy, man. Dude takes off from in front of the three-point line.
And Jace declared, right? Yeah, Jace declared for the draft.
Yeah, this is the little brother and the dad. Their daddy is their daddy named Jason too?
Yeah, so Jace is J-A-C-E. Jason, I think, is just J-A-S-O-N. And then Jackson is this one.
Yeah, so, Izzo just said that kid that's going to be here jumps way higher than his daddy. He can jump.
All right, we got Caleb Holt from just outside Atlanta.
Yeah, he's an Adidas kid. He won't be here.
All right, you're going to have to help me here. Mika Murin. So he's a Finland kid, but he plays at the Arizona Compass Prep.
Yeah, he'll be here. Yep, he would. Yep, he's here. He's Nike.
I got no chance on this one. Akina Olozi.
Oh, I'm on it now. No, he's Puma.
All right, then we go to Caden Samuels. He's a Maryland guy.
Over. Yep, he's Nike.
God,
Mingo is Nike. I'm on here now with you. Mingo, Nike.
You got any? So other than Jason Richardson, how many famous dads we're going to have?
Look at number 15.
Number 15 is Taj Ariza.
That's
Trevor's.
I can't think of his first. Trevor Ariza. Yeah. Yeah.
But we're not getting Melo. We're not getting LeBron.
No, but Melo will probably be here, though, because at the last session, Aldor was in Phoenix. So at the last session you had, Durant was there, Bradley Beal was there, Booker was there. They did the whole Durant. I don't know if y'all been saying new EYBL shoe. So they probably go do some job thing here. I'm guessing they usually pick a pro athlete and they sell a bunch of crazy gear that don't come in store. The line be all the way around the corner. So you're going to still have some star power here. It might not just be through the Suns, though.
All right. Anything else that we need to know other than we're going to have some really high-level basketball, and it sounds like the entire college coaching world is going to be here.
Yeah. I think that's about it. I think you covered it pretty good, Jeff. Also, I think it's just if you like hoops right now and pretty much everything over but the free NBA playoff teams and you want to see who the next level type of kids are and the best of the best, then it'll definitely be an exciting event this weekend.
Well, the other thing I was saying about
our own city.
Obviously, this is elite level basketball. But, how many of these guys are going to sign high major? Because it just seems like, all right, it feels like everyone's still recruiting the top 20 to top 25. And then after that, it's kind of like a who knows.
So that's the interesting part, Jeff. I told you on the show, I think, a few times, if I'm not in the top 40, I probably would go mid-major first. But all of these kids in the top 100 are still getting recruited high major. The only messed up thing to it, even the top 10s, the same team you signed to in the fall won't be the same team you're committing to because after the year, all the high majors go get all the best available transfers.
Right.
And then that's when it gets like LeBaron Fowler, who I got in the draft. He originally committed to Kansas. Well, when they got through in the spring, it was a great choice in the fall. Kansas went and got all these. He decommitted. He went to Alabama. The kid is supposed to go to Kentucky. It was a great fit at the time, him and my kid Jasper. Kentucky then loaded up with – so it's in theory, it's still a good thing, but you actually don't know who you signed and committing to and what the roster going to be when you do it now, unfortunately.
So, it used to be, if you're the coach at Arkansas State and you go to this, you're not recruiting off the top, but I don't know. If you're mid-majors, aren't you recruiting this at a level that maybe you haven't before, and you're saying like, hey man, like maybe I'm not going to get you the biggest dollar figure right now, but you come for us, you put up numbers. I just had three kids that just got picked off for $500,000 apiece.
That's true. I just had a mid-major in Tennessee call me this morning. Cause every coach, I ain't going to lie, coach, everybody. And I'm going to need your help this week, Jeff, because I told you, everybody think I'm hosting them. There's no way I can host hundreds of people, and I don't even hang out like that anymore. But
well, I got barbecue fest.
Okay.
I guess
okay.
I can bring them to like the tent.
Yeah, yeah.
So lot of, I'll say this, though. They better get ready. A lot of tigers in that tent.
Ooh. Yeah, they got to get ready for that. A mid-major coach called me earlier to your point, Jeff, and said, here, what players do you have? And I know they're good enough, but we, like you just said, we just had a kid leave here and go to Tennessee that's making a meal. We got a kid left here, went to Maryland making $500, $300.
Yeah.
Come here for a year or two. Treat us like a JUCO. Treat us like a prep school. Come here, win, and double your money. And so – yeah, they had, and this was a really good mid-major that actually goes to the tournament. So this wasn't even like a lower school.
Sure.
That this,
and I wasn't so, picking on Arkansas State. I was just taking a team that, you know, their coaches can drive an hour and a half.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. This school was like 4 hours away. And it's mid-major like this. So, no, the mid-major still be here because, like you say, a lot more kids got to go mid-major. And a lot of you guys that don't go mid first, they go high first and barely play, then they got to go to them schools the next year to go back up. So everybody got to be doing their job right now.
Is that, like, other than like let's say, your sixth man, isn't that what kind of what you would tell them? I mean, to me, like, this kind of makes sense. Like, if we're talking about how does Cinderella survive, okay, your back's against the wall, but, like, yeah, you're going to have younger teams, but, like, it does feel to me this opens up talent at a level that you haven't been at in the last 5 years, because they are having a, like, we are seeing the big boys will recruit from the mid-majors. Like, that does seem to me like a really good way to get paid.
I do. You just got to, Jeff, now, I don't know if I ever said this on the show, but I think me and you have said this a lot of times, cause, and even off air, because me and you have a genuine love for sports and kids, but common sense is not so common these days.
No, I get
right?
it. And you nobody dream, you know, you don't like dream of signing with Belmont. Like, I get it. Like, with all due respect, Belmont's got a great program. Like,
yeah, that's my dude. And they have a great program. Like, Belmont, Murray, UAB, these are some of the best mid-majors in the Southeast. But outside of that, and then it's just, you still have the kids gonna be the kids, but you still do, and I'm saying this respectfully, have foolish parents too,
yeah.
Right?
And no,
it's,
I'm, yeah.
It's like, you know, I tell kids all the time, which one is better? Getting 1,000 likes on Instagram with who you go commit to, or actually where you're gonna go play it, right? Because that kid that got 1,000 likes to go to Memphis or Duke, it's not gonna feel good when you're not playing, right? You know, everybody gonna forget about that post in 3-4 months. So you say the sixth man on my team, I hope my parents ain't listening. I think everybody except one or two should do that. You
yeah.
should go mid-major just because it's not so much of a gamble. If somebody telling you come here and play, and you know the college coaches and the Power Four got so much money, if you average over 8 points, you're going to double and triple your money. That's all you got to do. A freshman averaging 8, 9, 10, 11 points, that's golden to a high major, and you double, and now they don't have to worry about, are you ready for college? You already come with a resume, right? It's almost like somebody back in the day when degrees meant more. It's like applying for a job that needs a degree. Once you have stats, you have that, and now the sky's the limit.
Well, on top of that, like, you don't get better sitting on the bench. You get better playing. Like, to me, like, that's the, like, I get it can be hard to explain, like, the business idea of, because, like, hey, you're 16, you're 17 years old. Like, I get it. But to me, the biggest deal is you just look and you see, like, where are the guys that are playing early? And it feels like those are the schools where the guys are playing early. And to me, that would be the, like, I don't know, like, I just would value playing more than I would But I mean, again, I don't know. Maybe it's like we didn't have Instagram. I remember Facebook had just started at my junior year of high school. Like it wasn't like it was nowhere near what it is now, and no one was even thinking of it as like this is building your brand or this is something that can be designed to make money eventually. So I don't know. To me, it's like I still think. It seems to me the easiest way to make money is to play somewhere, have success, put up numbers, and then you get the NIL, the NIL money. That money seems to be me a little bit more real than whether or not you're a social media influencer.
No, Jeff, you're hitting it on the head, and I think we're showing our age here, George. I don't know how old you are, but Facebook, when I found out about it, or I think it came out, because I missed all them. MySpace phase and all that. Facebook was the first thing I ever got on, so I wasn't in high school on all that. So Facebook was out on my freshman year in college or something like that. It was either the year I was supposed to be a freshman or the year I was actually a freshman, one of those, right?
Yeah.
So you had to have it started as a college thing. I don't know if you know this, Jeff, the first year or two, but they probably realized they wanted to make it. You had to have a college email.
Yes,
to get
you, had to,
Facebook,
you had to college,
create a Facebook account.
Well, because the whole idea around it was like the exclusivity of the school. Like, because originally it's Zuckerberg at Harvard, and the idea is the most exclusive club in the world is a Harvard email address. And then obviously when people started saying like, hey, if you're going to make a ton of money off this, like you have to have the whole world connected. But like, I never really thought of anyone thinking of my Facebook account can make me a bunch of money. Like that really is more of, and even Twitter in the infancy, I don't feel like you can make a bunch of money really happen until Instagram. And that was like when the influencers and all the advertisers came in there. And so I guess that was the other, because originally Facebook didn't want advertisers because they thought it hurt the look. And then they realized like, okay, well, you're not going to make any money this way. So it became like it became something else.
No, you're right. Instagram, TikTok, it's like my daughter, she be talking about she on TikTok. I looked up something the other day. 3 months ago, she had me. I said, hold on, why am I on TikTok? I didn't know you asked me to do this practice little dance. I didn't know. Hey, don't put nothing out with me. Don't put nothing out with me that goes out to the world or whatever. But I remember, and this shows you how behind, either I'm out the loop, Jeff, or I'm getting older. I found out that Twitter, and I don't know if this, we talk about everything on this show, but people say Twitter is a place where like, a lot of XXX stuff goes on it. Maybe I don't have the right followers, but
I do.
Twitter is like a clear sports site for me or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I use it as
going down on Twitter.
I use it as a news feed, but I do believe porn stars are not blocked on Twitter like they are on other social medias. I do think that. I do believe that's true.
And not the professional ones. They just say like,
no, like OnlyFans, like the everyday,
Memphis,
the people in the trenches that are out there doing the porn work. Yes,
whatever they do, how they do that. I didn't know it was, but they say that's a big deal on Twitter. I didn't even know that. I've been hearing more about it the last 6 months.
Yeah, that's not my world on Twitter because I'm with you, but my understanding is like, yes, if you. Porn stars are having a much tougher time on Instagram. I would presume on TikTok the same, but like, yeah, their safe haven seems to be Reddit and Twitter.
What is Reddit? See, I'm behind.
See, Reddit's more of like, George, correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding of Reddit, it's more of like a worldwide message board.
Pretty much.
Like you have a bunch of it's a bunch of different pages about different topics, and it's just a message board. But it's public.
Oh, okay.
So, think of a team specific recruiting site message board, but it's a bunch of topics, and there's no, you don't have to have a subscription to do it, to post.
That's about right. Yeah. And, that's kind of what's great about it is you can very specifically curate your feed.
Yeah.
Like, you can just look at and join. Cool. I want to look at stuff about the NBA, the Grizzlies, and, whatever. That's the only stuff I'm seeing.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. Don't do that. Grizzlies.
That Grizzlies subreddit is
something else.
It seems like most subreddits are something else.
Yeah.
All right. The other thing I want to talk to you about before we let you go. So, I don't know how, because you've obviously been swamped. How much of the playoffs did you get to watch this weekend?
I've been keeping up with some of that, though. I've been keeping up with the playoffs. I'm kind of excited by it or whatever.
Some of these games, like Friday night, Thunder Nuggets was a good game and a good watch. But some of these games have just been absolute bummers to watch. The Warriors without Steph, and even though I'm enjoying watching the Warriors lose, like that's the other thing that stands out about this is that the Timberwolves are not really even playing that well, and it still feels like they're inevitably going to win just because the Warriors without Steph are like completely inept. But then like you get like I know we've had the Knicks comebacks in games 1 and 2, and those were thrilling watches like in the fourth quarter. But like the Celtics have been up 20 in every single game, and we've just had a lot of these games where it's like even with the Cavs, like last night was like one of the worst watches I've ever seen. Like you just check out like 10 minutes into the game, you're like, they are not winning this game. I don't know. It's one of these things where I don't really know what to make of it because injuries are largely dictating a lot of series. And I'm also someone that says like, well, that happens almost every single year. But like, I feel like everybody's been screaming, the playoffs are great. The playoffs are great. And I'm like, are we watching the same games? Because a lot of these games I'm watching, I'm like, man, is the scoreboard wrong? Like, it feels like last night, the Thunder Nuggets game was like in the 30s with 4 minutes left in the half. And I'm like, this is gross. Like, this is not a fun watch.
So, Jeff, I think you said a lot of stuff at one that made sense. So, I think this year the injuries are affecting. Because I think I done told you this. If it weren't for the TV money, it had been, and you looked it up, you said it's the most blowouts in 10 years. Now, before, I was telling you, it felt a little fake because I can beat you by 30 this time. You can beat me by 30. This year, I think it ain't that. I think it's truly because of that, because I didn't like that. And because of that, my thing was, but I'm not thinking about money, I think it should be 3-game series. That means I know you got to come play. You get 2, you know what I mean? But, of course, we can't do that because of the money, right?
Yeah, they're just not – because what people are paying for in the TV deal now is the playoffs. Like that's basically what they've sold. Yeah. But I do agree with you. If you knew this was a 3-game series, the intensity would be a lot different. Like, we're having crazy teams that are just, like, punting on games.
Yeah, and so, I hate that, Jeff. Now, this is my trade-off, what I would agree for. All the BS in the regular season, the no defense, 150 points and stuff, like, it wasn't gross to me. I love that I can watch an NBA game in 2025 where both teams are, and they had all their stars in these two games, the Thunder against Denver, two of the most powerful offenses, and the score is under 100. I love it because now I feel like real basketball. Larry Bird said it in Reggie Miller at one point. They wasn't hating. They was like, when we came up, you didn't know if the score was going to be 90 or 120 because we played by if you do a bet, and I'm not on bets like you, Jeff, you do a good job, John, and the Tim you have on there, so I learned from you guys. But if it was a bet out there, like, every day, do you think this team will score 140? The answer would be yes. And, like, every game is like an all-star game. So to get back to it's difficult to score 100, even though it might be bad looking at, I don't think the fouls have been as worse in the playoffs where you getting every – you just throw it into people and the free throws. And I know y'all more on numbers, so I'm not listening.
No. I guess this would be my deals. I'm with you. I do not need to see the – when the games were getting to the 140s, I'm with you. Like, if you tell me a game's going to finish around the 105 mark, that seems like a pretty reasonable number for me. The problem with some of these games that I'm watching, it's not good defense. It's just everybody's – everybody's now, it seems like the new trend that I'm watching is these teams are playing like 3-2 zone shells and they're daring everyone to shoot threes. And so like the other night, we've got a game that's in the 30s late in the first half because they're 1-for-26 combined from three. That's like, Like, man, I don't need to see like a bad 3-point shooting contest.
And you know what's going on, Jeff? And I don't know if it's worldwide or whatever, but even in the EYBL this year, I went through the 3-point stats, and every team is shooting like 6 for 20, 7 for 30. And it's like, and one of my coaches, he's a big number guy, and where we disagree yet, because we're not taking a lot of threes, it's a numbers game. You got to take more threes. And I'm like, I agree, but I don't, because – I think missing more threes make your offense worse. You know what I mean?
Like, no, it gets you out of rhythm. So Gilbert Arenas was on a show last week, and he said like what made sense to me in the analytics department. He said the key difference between even 15 years ago is it's not just, okay, we need our best guys shooting a bunch of threes. The difference was, if they had five guys on the floor, three guys had the green light to shoot. And the difference now is even the guys that were just there to make their money playing defense, they're all shooting. But I'm with you. It's like, is that really good for us? Like, do I want the guys? Like, imagine if, like, at peak Tony Allen, like, we would have Tony taking, like, 8 to 10 threes a game. Does anybody want that?
No, and like you say, it makes it, you come there for a certain thing. And that's why I always say it, and this is, I know everybody might side eye me right now. Although Steph Curry is the best shooter ever and 3-point shooter, like Stephen A. Smith would say, God ever made, whatever, I do think Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, and certain guys are a lot closer. Let me tell you why. You and Reggie Miller, you had in the 90s, you had to come down and throw it to Patrick Ewing, Rick Smith, work inside out. He might have attempted 5, 6, 7 threes. You have people that are literally attempting 10, 12, 14 threes. People are shooting 30, attempting 30, 40, 53.
The Celtics still shot 43s on game 3. Now, they made 20 of them, but like they still shot 43s. They're now averaging, that's 140 threes through 3 games.
And think about this, like, George, I know you're real good, you're in front of the computer, but I'm sure in the 90s the average rate was like 15 threes as a team, maybe. Or am I too low, too? I don't know. But people didn't jack that. You could only really take open threes, and they still had to make sense because, like you say,
it was like late shot clock. It was like late shot clock. You had to take it.
Yeah. And Adele Davis, not just with the Pacers. Reggie would take them, Mullen, Mark. Dale Davis could be open at the three. He was not going to take a three. He was going to re-pick and come here back to Reggie, throw it inside. So
think about this. Steve Kerr, in 15 years, a 45.4% three-point shooter. He only averaged 1.8 threes per game in his career, and that includes even when he was at the Bulls, and that was his specialty, he averaged 2.4 threes per game.
Yeah, that's why not to take none from Curry, Lillard, James Harden. If those guys could take more shots, who was to say they're not? It's just a game. That was like you just said, gross. That would have been looked at as gross and soft for a team to do that. So that's why when we make these comparisons, you got to almost do error. You really can't compare a player from now and
then. No, I'm with you completely. I'm actually wondering, though, this, and I'll let you go after this thought. I'm curious to see, because the problem is everyone has been convinced this is how you do it. I'm curious to see if there is a team that goes, screw it, everybody's defending based on the same analytics that we see. But we're going to start taking these shots that they're giving us that, yeah, they're 14 feet from the basket and they're only worth 2 points. But I'm curious to see if a team starts saying, like, if you're just going to keep giving us these shots and these are the open shots, is someone going to have the cojones to go against the grain? Because now it feels like what's happening in sports recently, whether it be football with the fourth downs, whether it be basketball with threes or dunks, everyone's so afraid of getting criticized that no one's willing to, like, go against the grain. But if somebody has success and does it, you know exactly what's going to happen is everyone's just going to start copying it.
No, you're right about that. It felt like, and getting back to it a little bit, felt like 5, 10 years ago, they kind of tried to take the mid-range out the game. I think it started hurting Carmelo Anthony.
The only guy, and I respect it. Like, he's not one of my favorite players, but I respected his ability to keep doing it. It felt like Chris Paul was the only guy that was like, I'm still an elite mid-range game. I'm going to keep shooting.
And I was going to bring him up, like, so, because he could play the point so good.
Yeah.
But it's like with the analytics, it got to be, and you don't remember, you used to get criticized for all he can do is either get all the way to the goal or shoot threes. He ain't got no in-between game. I don't know if you remember, it was an era where people criticized those players. Now, it's like there's some high school coaches that I have that do analytics who actually, they don't let their kids take mid-majors. I know a couple of private schools in Nashville. My guy, he's real on analytics, and he let them know on fast breaks the high percentage shot is to take a three.
Ugh.
I'm still old school, and my players do it. I think if you got a three-on-one, you should go for the layup.
I'm with you.
Right? But analytics, Jeff, it took over.
All right, my man, we wish you the best of luck, and I'm hoping for you hosting all weekend because I know your phone's just going to be ringing off the hook.
For sure. Thank you, man. Good seeing y'all guys again. I'm hearing from you guys on Monday, man. Have a great rest of the show.
All right, that is Coach Norton Hurd of Team Thad. When we come back, let's talk some Tiger basketball. We'll do that with Jason Munns next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
Yeah. What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
ESPN. Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at Jace, or beg your pardon, at Munsley. Joins us each and every Monday on the program. Munns, what are we listening to?
This is Real Light, Jeffrey, by the Jayhawks.
Okay. Is PJ Haggerty's social media account real life? I'm seeing a lot of people that are trying to say the name. I believe that it was, I'm paraphrasing, it was like taking his quote where the name on the, if you play for the name on the front of your jersey, that'll take care of the name on the back of your jersey. All fine. Totally good. But I just feel like right now a lot of people are doing mental gymnastics and saying that everything is pointing towards like this is good for Memphis. And I'm like, man, I cannot bring myself in here to do basically the same things that we have to do with John Morant's Twitter account.
Yeah, man. Like, I haven't talked to PJ. I don't know what he's thinking. But I have a very, very, very difficult time. Like, I tweeted over the weekend that I don't think that there are some people out there who think that he's trolling Memphis, that he's like, you know, toying with Tiger Nation's emotions right now. And I don't think it's that deep. I really don't. Like if you take what he said in that video back in March, which was back in March, from an interview back in March, and he's like, I don't think it's any coincidence that he retweeted that video, that soundbite, the day before the combine.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, it feels to me like that's something that he thinks that maybe execs might want to hear. And again, it's a good line.
Yes, it is. But like, I think it's merely him just sort of like psyching himself up for, you know, something that
a big
will
job interview.
The name on the back of the jersey. You know, he's going in there to make a name for himself. I do know. I've had conversations with several people, both on his side and on other sides. Who've told me that like his goal is the NBA. Like even though at best it sounds like he's viewed as at best like a mid second round guy. If he gets a guarantee, and this is what I'm being told, like if he gets a guarantee of being drafted anywhere in the second round. It is not outside of the realm of possibility that he just stays in the draft. So, and that's why I wrote, I think it was last week, a story where the headline was something like, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to NC State, because it's not. Because, again, if he goes to Chicago and just, you know, impresses the right people and gets some sort of guarantee – again, it's entirely possible that he stays in the draft. And I think that's all he was doing, really. I mean, legitimately, that like I don't believe that he was doing anything else other than sort of showing the world that he's a team player, as you pointed out. Like, you know, like that's the sort of thing that you would think execs would like to hear on the eve of a job interview. And then if it's not that, it's either that and or, you know, him saying this is an important, like I'm right here coming up on this very important thing that is important for me as an individual player. And I just kind of I'm like psyching myself up, like, because I had this mentality when I was at Memphis and when I was at Tulsa and whatever else, because I had this mentality, I am now reaping the rewards. I've got an invite to the combine. I'm going to go and work out in front of all these executives. And this is just like affirmation that what I thought when I said what I said back in March is playing out in real time.
Does it surprise you? Because I mean, you've covered his whole season, and you covered towards the end of the season. Let's be real, when it starts to become okay, what are the re-recruiting? What are the re-recruiting possibilities? And we know that. Does it surprise you that he seems to be all in on the NBA draft to this level?
I mean, no, not necessarily. I mean, that was his third season of college basketball,
yeah.
Remember. You know, he was at TCU, although he only played six games. Then he was at Tulsa. Then he was at Memphis. Like, I think he's ready for the next step, you know? I think most players, if you take the money part of it out, because nowadays it's more lucrative to stay in college. I mean, you know, reportedly it is for him, at least, or it will be. You know, if you take that part out of it, I'm not surprised that that his primary objective is to begin his pro career sooner rather than later. But, you know, again, is he going to get a guarantee? Is he going to get the guarantee that he wants? We don't know yet. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is he's not viewed as he's not really, I don't think he's on any mock drafts that I've seen. And I think there's a reason for that. And I mean, you know, like, I think he's going to have to impress big time in order to get what he's looking for. And so because of that, I still think everything is on the table. I think him staying in the draft is on the table. I think him winding up at NC State or potentially somewhere else is on the table. I still think Memphis is on the table. I genuinely, you know, based on some things that I've been told and that I've heard, I don't think, like, if he were to get the phone this time next week and call Penny Hardaway, I think that they would, like, they discussions would be had, and like, the end result of those discussions could be.
Muns, I think we're having a little bit of problems with your phone, so we're going to try to call you back. George, I think try from the hotline. So we're working on that because, I don't know, this is one of the topics. And I understand why fans care. Like, if P.J. Haggerty's coming back, you're bringing back a second-team All-American. Like, I understand why some fans would want to hold out hope, but I feel like there's been a lot of trying to read into things that I don't necessarily quite think are there. There feels like some really big leaps in terms of trying to interpret a social media post in terms of it either being in favor of the Tigers or somehow that's going against them. All right, Muns, we got you back there, but I think let's go back to the point that you're making, that if things progress in a certain way that are not as positive from the NBA front, that Penny Hardaway, I believe you're saying, do I think that they could get back on the phone? And you think that that's on the table, possibly?
Yes, I do. I think that if we get to this time next week and PJ has not heard what he wants to hear from the NBA side of things, I could legitimately see things getting back to a point where it's at least the door is back open again. And I'm not even saying that the door is closed, honestly, between PJ and Memphis. I just think that right now the ball is, you know, no pun intended, I think the ball is in PJ's court to open that door again if it is closed.
All right. The other thing that you'd mentioned about PJ, and I think you just put this on X maybe an hour ago, we've gotten the roster from the combine, and PJ is listed as a two guard. And I think that's something that I take interest in, because the other thing is, I think it also shows how the league views him. It's like, you know, this idea that he's just going to come in and play point guard, like, there's a lot that would have to happen there. If he's going to be viewed as a prospect, it's going to actually be as a two guard, which I would probably argue doesn't necessarily work in his favor just because of a size and length perspective.
Yeah, shout out the great Mark Giannotto for he's up there at the combine. He passed along some of that information to me, and part of that is the roster that PJ is on this week. And yeah, he's listed as a shooting guard. Now, granted, he's on the same team with Mark Sears and Cam Jones. Coincidentally enough, Cam Jones, Memphis native,
yep,
former Marquette star, Those two are the guys who are listed at point guard. And to be fair to PJ, like, you know, I don't know if there's a, like a, if there's like a draft or a luck of the draw or like there's, you know, if they are strategic about it. But like if it was done randomly or, you know, however it was done, he is on the same roster as two pretty high level point guards. You know, so it makes, but the other part of it is that, it, you know, from, as you said, a measurables standpoint, from a resume standpoint, you know, that is probably how league views him, is a shooting guard. And that's what he's listed out on the roster. And, you know, that's what he's going to play. And so I think that because of that, his, you know, it's like if you're going to put, if that's the position you're going to play at the next level, then you've got to be, you know, you've got to be really, really good in certain areas. And like, so like, you know, 3-point shooting and like athletic explosiveness and stuff like that. Like, I don't know that PJ is necessarily there yet. With like in those areas, I mean, you know, we know where he's great, and he is legitimately great in the areas that he is great, but he's got a long way to go in some other areas. And I think that that's probably what's going to end up, people are going to end up seeing this week at the combine. And, but yeah, like I think it does speak pretty high volumes about what NBA, front offices think about his path to the NBA. And, if, you know, part of that is probably because he hasn't played
a lot of point guard,
much point guard at the college level. And that's probably why he wants to play more point guard at the college level, is to prove to these NBA executives that, that he can be that at that level. And I think that's probably a big reason why we are where we are. You know, why he is making certain, you know, reportedly making these demands about wanting to play point guard wherever he is next season. And, cause he knows and understands that, that if he is going to, like, his path to the NBA is probably best as a point guard, but, you know, he's just, he hasn't done it yet. And you know, they're not going to put him there. At the, you know, and like displace someone else who has. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, but yeah, it is interesting that, that this week he's going to be playing the position that he's kind of apparently trying to get away from.
All right. Cobb was on with us last week and
love Cobb.
We all love it. We all love us some Cobb. Of course, your former coworker. Mm-hmm. And he had mentioned, you know, because we'd both been hearing about this potential lawsuit essentially for guys challenging eligibility and wanting yep. 5 years to play five. Now, there had also been some other complications that both of us had heard about it. Number one, which was it seemed to be nobody really wanted to file the lawsuit until there was some type of resolution on the house settlement. Because if the house settlement didn't go through, well, then you'd kind of be working against yourself, and maybe those that are in charge wouldn't want to file in that situation. The problem that I've always struggled with is, even you've known about this lawsuit. This isn't news to you. I think what I've struggled with, though, and you tell me if I'm wrong, based on your interpretation of what the guys would be suing for, it does feel like it's a little murky of whether or not Dane Danger's eligibility could be tied to this. Am I off base in my understanding?
No, I mean, I'll admit that I don't know. Like, I'm not extremely schooled in.
Well, you and I both are legal experts, of course, without having ever taken a single, like, without even having taken the LSAT. But yes, we are legal experts. Yes, of course.
Exactly. For all intents and purposes, we'll just call ourselves that. We'll change our ex bio after we hang up. But no, like, I had the exact same thought. Like, when I saw the most recent stuff earlier today about how the one guy, I think, who's trying to play at Charleston or was playing at Charleston, who was like going for another year and it was denied or whatever it was. Like, the first thought that entered my head was this isn't exactly what, like, that's news, and that's potentially big news for a lot of people, but it's not necessarily relevant to what Dane is trying to do. Dane is not necessarily challenging the length, like the window. He's not
right.
challenging the.
He's not 5 years to play four. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's not challenging that, and like as it stands today, he's not challenging anything legally. Like he does have
applied for the waiver, correct?
Right, but and he has sought counsel, outside counsel to help him and his family in the compliance department, like gather everything they need to gather, to file for that waiver, which they have. And they're still waiting to hear back, as I understand it. But that does not mean, however, that if, like, let's say the NCAA denies their waiver request, like that, I'm not saying that they're not going to eventually go some sort of legal route, but it's not going to be quite the same as, or really the same at all. Because again, he's challenging medical designation.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he's challenging. He's challenging, like, a very specific set of circumstances and trying to get the year back that he lost in the 21-22 season. And it really doesn't have anything to do with, you know, he's not trying to extend his eligibility for but it's commercial purposes and, like he's not
earning potentials, yeah.
Yeah, he's not claiming a loss of earning potential because, you know, he only got to play four seasons or whatever, four full seasons or whatever it is. He's claiming something different. So yeah, trying to glean anything from what's going on with those lawsuits and things like that and like read into how it may play out for Dane, it's apples and oranges.
All right, and then the other thing that's over at commercialappeal.com, it's written by Jonah, not by you. Also noticed the last couple of weeks, things that I used to like not ever pay attention to have popped up. I've seen a bunch of APR scores, and now Memphis's basketball APR score after last season was docked. Now it goes into the rolling average. They're not up against any punishments right now. What is the situation facing the school right now, or facing the basketball program right now is what I should say.
So they were really good. So like when the NCAA is looking at APR scores, they do it 4-year increments. And so they take the average APR score, total APR score of the last four seasons. And if it is, I think the number is 930. If the 4-year average is below 930, well, then you're facing possible sanctions. Like last week, the Akron football program got a postseason ban this year because its APR score, its 4-year APR score was so low. Now, this is just one season. Memphis's most recent APR score, which would have been the 23-24 academic year because the 24-25 one is
right.
still ongoing,
yeah.
Yeah, so the 23-24 academic year, their APR score was, I think it was 844, which the two seasons prior, Memphis men's basketball had a perfect 1,000
yep.
for each of the two seasons prior. So we're talking about a really, really significant drop. Like, to go from 1,000 back-to-back years to 844 is a major, major drop. Now, again, as we sit here today, it doesn't do anything to the basketball program. Like, there are no sanctions. They're not facing any sanctions. But basically what it means is, like, they've got to pick that back up. They've got to get closer back to 1,000 to keep that 4-year average from dropping below 930, or else they could be facing possible sanctions. It's up to the NCAA's discretion. Like, they could be as minor as like a reduction of practice dates, number of practices, all the way up to a postseason ban. So, It's just basically what it is you better not have another 844.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment, a commitment your local Ford stores share, and that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.